This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hits that curveball deep to right center field, and that ball is gone. Well, you can add to that Major League leading total since the start of June and add to the total overall. It's the 33rd of the season for Santander. 0-2 pitch hit deep. Right field, and Jackson Holliday has homered in a third straight game. The Orioles take a 4-3 lead. Is 0-2. Hit deep to left field, and that one is way gone. Second home run of the game for Anthony Santander, who's quickly taken this contest over. It's 5-3.
Oh, we take that W. We win. That's the more important thing, and I'm so happy that I did that for help the team.
The highlights courtesy of Sportsnet, and then you heard Anthony Santander after the game, and a funny thing happened on the way to a game that looked like a loss early on, including some bad defensive plays, but Anthony Santander, two home runs, now is a career-high 34 with 47 games left to go in the season, and Jackson Holliday, to paraphrase Kevin Brown, hit one to Saskatchewan, helping the Orioles.
I thought it was more like Saskatoon myself.
Yeah, that's a good one, too.
Well, Saskatoon is in Saskatchewan.
Yeah, Orioles win 7-3, and they're back in a tie for first place in the AL East because the Yankees split a doubleheader, as I said yesterday. Tough to sweep a doubleheader. So the Orioles back in a tie, and the bats came alive late last night. That game felt like a game last year a little bit where they took advantage of the bullpen and started to beat it down.
Yes. Look, everything about Anthony Santander, these games can be hard to watch at times, and especially when the infield's kicking around balls and you know, there's a pitcher out there who doesn't have great stuff, who's trying to gut it out for you. A night after Suarez did gut it out for you, and you're watching some of this stuff that's not professional grade. And it can be a tough watch, you know, here and there, given what expectations are now. But, like, everything about Anthony Santander, there's, like, a joy to, even when he strikes out, the way he strikes out sometimes, there's almost a joy to it. And watching him make that catch, which absolutely bailed them out.
Oh, yeah. By the way, I'm thinking they're not going to pitch to him, and then they do.
Absolutely bailed them out there. Bailed the manager out big time. Or Freddie Gonzalez, but come on. The Hyde knows what's going on in that scenario. He's sitting in the clubhouse, I'm sure, with his phone or whatever.
He bailed his pitcher out, too. He made the pitch.
Yeah. So that play, the home runs from both sides of the park, and then just, you know, watching him goof around with Brandon Quinones after the game, and his on-field interviews are a hoot and a treat. He is so woven into the fabric of this team, man. Like, he just is. You know, the stuff people used to say about Trey Mancini and this or that, oh, like, where would they be without him? This is different. This, like, Aaron Judge might be the only major league player who hits more home runs than this guy this year. Like that maybe, could be how this plays out.
Uh-huh.
And he's clearly their best right fielder. And he's a bat that they want to face any pitcher in any situation, lefty, righty, ace starter, closer, it doesn't matter. He's probably the preferred choice right now over anybody else. And then for Jackson Holliday to keep having the at-bats he's having.
You motivated him,
absolutely massive. How did I motivate him?
You said he did. You were questioning his power, and now he's hit home runs.
If he has power, that's a cherry on top. I just want him to play solid second base and get on base 33% of the time.
Hey, he's putting up monster number three, youngest guy in American League history to hit home run three straight games.
And both those late home runs, Santander's second one and Jackson, both of them came in 0-2 counts,
yes,
which is even more impressive. But, I mean, Santander, guys, I mean, we had the conversation of, okay, what do they do with him entering a contract, you're heading into the season, and I think we're all in agreement that he probably, okay, you got some outfielders down on the farm, and maybe he's a guy that you can let walk, but now it's to the point where I don't know how you can let this guy walk, because it would just leave such a gaping hole in your lineup. And is he having a Gold Glove caliber year in right field? No, but I think he's having
above average defense.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think he's having his best defensive year that he's had probably since he was a
Gold Glove finalist
in 2020. Just the diving play is the range. We know what type of arm that he has. And the year that he's had, considering the fact that the first 2 months he was giving you basically nothing, and there hasn't been a lull in his game since June 1st. I mean, he has just been a monster.
Well, if you spin it forward,
mm-hmm,
like let's just be real about the 2025 Baltimore Orioles. Corbin Burns is not going to be here,
not
and they're not
likely
going to give some starter $250 million to replace him. It stands to reason that the pitching staff, even if Batista comes back with a full recovery, without a true ace in Corbin Burns, like, knowing you're not going to have Bradish, not really having a lefty that you can count on, they're probably not going to pitch as well. They're going to have to mash. And we don't know about Heston Kjerstad other than he's Ryan O'Hearn. And to keep them both around next year would be silly. Like, Kobe Mayo's not going to become a corner outfielder in the span of 3 months back home in Florida, right? And Heston's glove is a problem. So I'm just thinking, like, who's going to beat this guy out? Like, who's going to be more valuable to them as even bat over glove on a team that's going to need to score runs? Because I'm just telling you, they're not going to have the Cy Young winner, which Corbin Burns very well could be, on their staff next year.
And they're not going to have Bradish and all
that. So I'm saying, like it's not going to be as good of a rotation. Yeah. Like, I don't see how you let this guy walk.
I just want to let you know, Santander still leads the majors in homers since June 1st. And in his last 20 games, he's batting .305 with 11 homers, 21 RBIs, and 22 runs scored. So, like, it's not just he's slowing down. He continues to rake basically since June the 1st.
We've seen what their record's been since June the 1st. And we know that the prolonged slump that Adley was in and Jackson was in and even Westberg, the 2 weeks going into the All-Star break and then Westberg getting hurt, they'd be lost without this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Elias himself a couple weeks ago said he's kind of been our heart and soul. And I brought that up to him again yesterday. Like, and you add in the leadership element, the bilingual element, having a Latin star on your team as you continue to bleed international prospects, like,
switch hitter.
Hey. And you're not paying anybody else. Eflin, $18 million next year. You're not paying anybody else.
We mentioned Jackson Holliday. We should throw in Eloy Jimenez, who continues to get big hits for them. And the double scores two makes it a 7-3 game.
Yeah, I mean, the double down the right field line was obviously huge. He does not hit the ball in the air, and to this point, it hasn't mattered. I do feel like batting average on balls in play, well, there'll be some regression there.
Let it ride.
But I mean, two more hits. I mean, even for him to get the infield hit for a guy who can't run at all, like, he's living right now. The baseball gods are shining upon him.
And seeing him run after those
running the bases.
Going to third. Dude, when that throw went to center field, he looked like he was miserable.
Yeah.
He's like, wait a minute, I got to go 90 more feet?
Yeah.
And then that head first.
That was good times. We have a huge Thursday show. It's kind of a to shout out Aloysius. It's almost a ladies' night here, as yes. if you remember those great shows at night on Tuesdays.
16 shares.
Oh, man. 16 share Jared. Those were good times. Didi Kinkabwala will talk AFC North with her. She's from CBS at 3 o'clock. Lonnie Baxter is going into the Maryland Hall of Fame. He's going to join us at 3:30. Lucy Burge, our weekly chat with her, best bets at 4 o'clock. Our own Melissa Kim talking Ravens at 4:30. And Ryan Ripken, part of our Baltimore Baseball Tonight coverage at 5 o'clock.
Big show. We'll start drilling down on what we're going to be watching for in the preseason debut. Obviously, we'll get you set for the rubber match tonight in Toronto. And we definitely have a lot more to say about what a Tony Tater's extension could look like.
Coming up next, we want to get to the pitching. And Trevor Rogers, he deserved better. What about that bullpen? We'll discuss next here on The Fan.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Second start as an Oriole for Rogers. And a swing and a miss on the changeup. Springer goes down. Menez on second and Varsho on third. Another 0-2. Foul tipped into the glove and held onto by Rutschman. Strike three. 2-2. Hit on the ground, diving, stopped by Mountcastle, who gets up to get the out and end the fifth.
Yeah, I thought it was better this time out. I thought the sinker was working. I thought the changeup was better this time. Looked a little bit more comfortable. Like I said, we made a couple mistakes behind him, is that his line could have been better. And we got to catch the ball a little bit better for him, especially sinker ball type guys. But I thought he really competed and got through five for us.
Trevor Rogers, 5 innings, 7 hits, 3 runs, 2 earned, 2 walks, 2 strikeouts. And as Brandon Hyde said, you're the highlights courtesy of Sportsnet. It could have been a lot better. Only 1 error, but let's face it. There was originally 2. They changed 1 to a hit. That's a play a competent third baseman makes, and it's a double play ball gets him out of the inning. And it also takes his pitch count down about 20 pitches. This was... To me, Jason, Tim, this was the guy that pitched the last 2 months in Texas. He gives you about 5-plus innings and gives up 2 runs, but he could have been better if the defense was.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is about as good as it's going to get for him now? Can they fix him entirely and build him back up over the offseason and give him a program to where that left-sided velo ticks up in this or that? Maybe. But for right now, this is about as close to an A game as you're going to get from him. We previewed this game yesterday, and the lineup came out late in the day, later than usual, and I said I was surprised that Kobe Mayo was at third base because having watched his first start here and having watched him in Miami, my gut feeling was they're going to tell him, hey, buddy, that four-seamer that the league's slugging five-something off of, we're not throwing that, bro. That's getting you in trouble. Ball's hard hit in the air. We're going to emphasize the sinker and the changeup. We're going to get a lot of ground balls on this fast track, and we're going to get some double play balls, and that's how we will get some length out of you because we don't really have a long man. I mean, Keegan Aiken's on his way back from Norfolk. And so there was a lot of action. There was a lot of action to the right side, and Kobe Mayer was involved in some of it, and this is all a learning process for him. But I'm surprised they didn't go with their best defensive left side of the infield they could for this start because this guy did do the job, and they did exactly what I thought they would do. You know, like, he's thrown the four-seamer more than any other pitch this year. He's thrown it 33% of the time on the season, 32%. He threw it 22% in this game. Like, on the season, he's thrown the changeup a little over 20%. He threw it 28% in this game. The sinker, 10% upage on the usage of the sinker. 35% of his pitches in this game were sinkers. On the season, 24%. His command was a little better. He wasn't falling horribly behind. And let's face it, it's also a lineup that's got its fair share of holes in it right now.
I feel like the Orioles with this Mayo situation are a victim of their, quote, own program, because Mayo was supposed to get the day off on, what's that, Tuesday. They did give him the at-bat, which we all think was ludicrous late in the game with the bases loaded. But that means we're giving him that runway, so he's going to play the next day at third base. But I'm with you. The way
this
it worked
pitcher,
out,
as bad as the first outing was, knowing what the strategy
I get
was,
it, but they but
in a dome, in a weird situation,
you're not giving Mayo two straight days off.
Why not?
Because we want to give him that long runway.
No. Yeah. Well, I also want to win this ball game.
I hear you, and they did win the ball game. They did. They did.
They did, but it got a lot complicated.
I hear you.
By
him.
Yeah.
Well, and I think we're also seeing this is why he stayed in AAA as long as he did. That defense is just not
but
there.
But, like, what are 10 more games, like, at Norfolk going to do to improve
I hear
defense?
You,
he
but, yeah. but...
Like, he should have been up here sooner so you could have seen some of this in May and June.
But you could argue they already saw it.
And not inject it into the pennant race.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
When you've got these new arms that are trying to figure out your program and work with your catchers, right? And obviously, his last start was horrific.
Yes.
That was batting practice.
I didn't see it. I was out of the country.
And that's the thing that was vastly different from that first start, where there wasn't a ton of hard hit balls last night off Rodgers. Now, I think you still went into the same issue as last time in the fact that he had 18 foul balls. He only had two strikeouts.
He doesn't have put away stuff.
Exactly. But I think what you're looking for out of Trevor Rodgers, especially at this point in the season, like you were saying, Jason, and the fact that he's the back end of your starting staff, keep him in the ball game. And that's what he did. And I think that's kind of what I'm looking for out of Trevor Rodgers in this stretch run.
For me, if he can give them 5 to 6 innings, 2 earned runs every time out,
the ball game.
I'm going to take that and put it in the bank. And that's what he did last night.
Yes.
Yep.
So, like, and that's what he gave the Rangers the last 2 months.
Marlins
the last 2 months. So, if he can give you that out of the fourth, or obviously it's four starters by now, it's like, I'll take it. That you're right about the Blue Jays lineup, though. For some reason, it didn't matter who was pitching, that Jimenez was hitting the crap out of the ball. He had 3 doubles coming into the game, 3 doubles last night.
Yeah, he was tattooing everything. And look, the bullpen got the job done. Dominguez, hey, you'll take it. Like, it's not going to be bulletproof. There'll be some hard contact along the way. But it's clear, guys are starting to have more defined roles. Those guys have been here now for a couple of series, and we're starting to see who the stock arrow is up on and who the stock arrow is down on.
And all in all, we got 6 appearances now, 6 innings. He's got 7 strikeouts in those 6 innings, just giving up that 1 error.
Oh, and by the way, and Ben said something to my ear, and I was having a conversation about this last night with somebody when it happened. The double in the 9th inning, Slater looked to play it off the wall, hit the bottom of the wall. It's almost almost like he misjudged that ball. Like, that ball probably should have been caught. He turns around to play it off the wall, and it hits the very bottom of the wall. So I feel like he misjudged that. That's a ball that probably should be caught.
Yeah. Well, either way, he's been good.
Yeah. And
I have reservations about him facing lefties, especially at Camden Yards, but he's been good. There's going to be some contact, but he's been good.
When he's ahead, he can work that sweepy slider and gets guys to strike out on that pitch. But he's got to get ahead.
And Cano is in a pretty good form here now, too. I mean, again, you start to think about unsung heroes. Where would they be without Santander night in, night out in the middle of that lineup? Where would they be without what Cano's done in the eighth or ninth inning during this Kimbrel implosion, and Soto's adding nothing, and like there's not now Webb, right, who'd been their second or third best reliever, is out for a while. Like, they really need this version of Cano.
And Birch Smith continues
I'm
to be
buying
solid,
it.
Man.
Yeah, I'm buying it. He was humping it in there. He was feeling himself last night.
Yes.
Birch Smith was feeling himself.
Yeah, that's 2 days in a row, and I'm still mad they pulled him after two outs and then a bloop single to Vlad the night before. But two innings in a row, he's looked good in Toronto.
No, I've got no issue. Like, the whole sample size of Birch Smith since they claimed him, I can't quibble. Like, again, another guy who's quickly become pretty important, pretty valuable. And we'll see. You know, Baker, last time he came up, was really good for five or six outings. Like, so maybe they'll get good Brian Baker here.
Sino Perez looking good, too.
Sino Perez has been invaluable. That's the only left-handed arm they can trust. Right. Well, now Aiken's back, so. But I think we all like Aiken as a bridge guy a lot more than a seventh or eighth inning, face their best lefty, and go get him out guy. That guy is Sino Perez.
Are you concerned at all about Cano and the ball? Like, he seems more fly balls than ground balls of late. Any concern at all?
I mean, I'd love for everything to be on the ground. But
he's in a nice stretch.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I can't really argue with the.
What he's not doing is he's not walking people.
No, he's
and
not.
And that's when he really gets in trouble.
No, you're absolutely right. Coming up next, Mike Elias joined the show yesterday. If you missed it, we're going to hear some highlights next here on The Fan. Yesterday, Mike Elias, general manager, your Baltimore Orioles, joined the show and talked about a variety of things, including Jackson Holliday as the Orioles' backup shortstop.
Yeah, we've got a situation now with not only Jorge but Westberg down that our shortstop coverage before Jackson came up was basically just Gunner. And, you know, Gunner's been playing a lot. And in addition to the All-Star game, in addition to the Home Run Derby, he plays so hard. You know, you do have to worry about that. So we had Levon Soto up for a couple of days, and we do have him in the organization, as well as some other guys in AAA. But Holliday is a shortstop. He's been playing there his whole life. And the staff with the team, the coaching staff, are going to make sure he's ready should that be called upon. But, you know, hopefully that's not something that we need to lean into too hard, because we need both of those guys up the middle right now. Mm-hmm. But it is a possibility, and it is part of our on-roster shortstop depth chart right now.
Yeah, they are without depth at short at the moment. So if you do give Gunner a day off, or he does, God forbid, get hurt, Jackson Holliday is probably your answer at short.
Well, and I framed the question in a manner in which I included Ramon as well, and he did not say anything about putting Ramon there. So I think it's pretty clear that right now, if, heaven forbid, Gunnar Henderson had to leave a game early because something happened, or if you just want to get Gunnar Henderson off his feet in a blowout, or I know they have another off day coming up Monday, but then they go into a stretch where it's a little more grueling, and maybe there's a day you just want Gunnar to DH and not play shortstop. It's pretty clear right now the only person on this current roster who they would slide over there is Jackson Holliday.
Yeah, I mean, Levon Soto would be that, but obviously he's at Norfolk. And look, they had a lot of injuries to their middle infield. I mean, Jorge Mateo, who knows if he's going to be able to come back. And Jordan Westberg, we only saw that one game, the second game of the doubleheader at shortstop, and it was not pretty over there.
More from Mike Elias from yesterday, and the Orioles made a bunch of trades like right before the trade deadline, one of which was a trade for left-handed pitcher Gregory Soto, who has not been good. And Mike Elias talks about the struggles of Soto.
Yeah, I think it is command. I mean, these early struggles that we've been seeing, he's getting behind in the counts of lefties, and then he's either walking them or getting a base hit. And that's always been part of his game. But he appears to be in a particular funk in that regard right now. And we know the talent that's in there, so he'll work out of this. But it's just, it's tough when, you know, somebody comes over in a trade and we all want to see them hit the ground running and make a positive impression. So it's hard on the player. It's hard on me. It's hard on the manager when a guy gets off to a really rough start like this. But like anything in baseball, I think more of it is luck than we realize. And we do need him. We brought in all those pitchers at the trade deadline for the reason that you just saw today. Like, we're going to have injuries. We need more major league quality pitchers in the organization. He's going to help us. We want the velocity and the tough look from the left side that he provides. So we'll get him going.
Says they'll get him going. They better, because he was awful.
He also
the
says
other
my favorite four-letter word that luck ends in UCK.
Luck.
Yeah.
That's your favorite one?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not buying
or
that.
Or least favorite.
Yeah, yeah. That would be your least favorite.
Least favorite.
Because I know your
favorite,
most favorite.
I'm being facetious. Yeah, my least favorite.
Yeah, yeah. So, Gregory Soto.
Baseball gods.
Yeah, sometimes.
Will you shine on Gregory Soto? Will you fix him?
Hey, he was a all-star a couple
how
years
how much longer?
Back-to-back all-star. Yeah.
Like, how much longer does this go, though?
Well, if he's brutal, then eventually you probably DFA him.
Like, if they're bringing him into the fourth or fifth inning, right? You're bringing him in fourth, fifth, sixth inning to games that are already sort of out of reach one way or the other, or certainly nothing close to even a medium leverage situation. And, like, if he's still scuffling and hurting your team, even in those instances, well, how long is the leash?
It just puts Brandon Hyde in a tough situation. Now you got another lefty with Keegan Aiken being brought back up, but Brandon Hyde's already kind of doing this sort of thing with Craig Kimbrell, and it worked well in the seventh inning the other day against the Blue Jays, but how many of these guys can you do that with?
We know what Buck Showalter told us he thought of when they go get us relievers, we got to fix it the deadline.
Yeah.
Not a big fan of that.
You can also, I'm old enough to remember when the Orioles got K-Rod and he wouldn't use him.
Yeah.
He just basically was taking a nap out in the bullpen. Yeah. So more from Mike Elias. The Orioles got Eloy Jimenez basically for a bag of balls.
For money.
And he has been hitting of late, and two more hits last night. Elias talks about Jimenez.
I think underlying is kind of a good word. I mean, he's having a down year on the surface, but the quality of the at-bats remain good. The threat that he kind of presents when he's standing in the batter's box was always there, particularly against left-handed pitching, which is something that we were lacking, especially after deciding to trade Austin Hayes for pitching. But he can hit right-handed pitching too, and he uses the whole field, and particularly gap to gap. So it's hard to defend against, and we've seen it in the first few days. He hits the ball really hard, and there's just a lot there to like. And he's not 100% healthy, and he hasn't been, so that's still being worked through. But he's healthy enough to DH, give good at bats. And we'll try to grow it from there as he gets out of this injury mode. But so far, the quality at bats, and I think the pennant race has lifted his spirits. And I think it's more representative of the type of hitter that he is than what he did with the White Sox for the first half.
Amazingly enough, we talked a lot about his 61% ground ball rate with the White Sox and how it was historically significant and 20% above the league average. And he literally, like, His launch angle is negative. Venture to guess his ground ball rate with the Baltimore Orioles?
60%.
I'm going to say even higher.
73%.
Wow.
You want to take a gander? Take a guess at what his batting average on balls in play, which we're telling you already, three of every four are on the ground. Mm-hmm. What his batting average on balls in play is as a member of the Baltimore Orioles? It's high.
450.
420.
727.
Wow.
Call me crazy, but regression's coming.
Oh,
he's
sure
got to start hitting the ball in the air.
But I will say this. He does.
727.
But I think some of this is also going from a team that's 50 games under 500. Kopech is pitching well for the Dodgers. Fetty's pitching well for the Cardinals. Like, everybody that's gotten out of that cesspool. Tommy Pham is hitting for the Cardinals. Like, everybody that's gotten away from that cesspool is playing better than they were there.
And Elias said as much. When you're going through those crazy long losing streaks,
dude,
and
you
what,
can't,
60 games.
I don't care if it's only a week. 73% ground ball rate in modern baseball is... Dude, that's nuts.
I'll tell you what he is doing, and I think Mike mentioned it. He is letting the ball cut like
He's like Nico Horner. Yeah. Like, he's just trying to put the ball in play.
Yeah,
like,
but he's also going opposite way a bunch.
He is, but he's not going opposite way. Like, he's not destroying balls.
No, he's not.
Like, even that double, he hit it down the line and it just rolled like a bowling ball long enough for even him to get to second base. Like, 727 batting average on balls in play.
If he continues that, he may win the MVP anyway.
He might.
Yeah, even though it's a small sample.
Who cares where he hits the ball if that keeps happening?
Yeah,
you could bunt.
Yeah. No, I don't know if he could bunt with the way he runs.
Somebody will just fall down on the way to picking the ball up, and it won't be an error because they never got there.
Let's hear one more from Mike Elias, and it's Anthony Santander. We've talked a lot about whether the O's, and not whether, we think they should re-sign Anthony Santander. Well, Mike Elias, your thoughts on re-signing him?
Yeah, I mean, I would echo the compliments that you made about Tony. Whatever you guys see on the screen, you know, or when you're at the park, like, behind the scenes, he's just a great guy. He's really putting together a great season. I've been kind of boring on this extension topic in the past, but for reasons that I've already said, and then also, you know, the fact that our new ownership group has just settled in as of opening day, you know, early April. We've got so much going on in season. It is something that is more typically tackled in the off season. And, you know, there's a lot that goes into it and it can be tough while a season's going on. You know, he is a great player. Like you mentioned, the switch hitter, you know, is something that is rare and valuable, but there's a whole lot that goes into the business of baseball. And ultimately things come down to case by case in certain circumstances. And it's hard for me to make sweeping statements about what we may do in season or not do, but we love Santander. You know, he's really been a big part of where we are right now, despite some of the challenges that we've had health-wise throughout the year. So I'm sure he's going to finish really strong, and, you know, we'll see where we're at.
I just want to point out that he said all this before Santander hit two homers last night from each side of the plate and made a catch to rob Vlad Guerrero of an RBI double. That was before all that.
If this guy walks, that'll be a pretty significant kick in the nuts.
Massive. Well, it depends what they do to replace him. But
they're going to replace him with a switch hitter who's going to bat number three in their lineup anytime they need him to?
I want him to stay. I can't say for certain it's going to hurt until I see what they do to replace him. But I don't want to lose him. I don't want to lose him.
It's going to hurt.
It might. Do you know
you think Heston Kerstedt's going to do this?
I'm not saying it's going to be Heston Kerstedt. I don't know who it's going to be.
Dylan Beavers?
I don't think they got it. I got to see what
they
do.
If they're buying a bat to replace him, then just sign him.
I hear you. I'm just not.
Am I a crazy one?
No, but I'm not going
to
say.
He'll do whatever you want him to do. You transition him to DH. He's not going to put up a fight. Like, he loves being here. Like,
it would definitely be.
Who are you getting to replace him?
I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do this offseason, so I don't know. But I want him to stay. I want him to stay.
If they let him walk, they would replace him from within, be my guess, because all these outfielders, and that would be we're making room for this guy. All right, be careful what you look for.
Coming up next, Ravens were on the practice field yesterday. I was out there, kind of a half-speed thing, as they're getting ready for their first preseason. I'm calling it spring training. Preseason game tomorrow against the Eagles. We'll hear a little bit of Harbs, a little Ben Cleveland, a little Roger Rosengarten next here on The Fan.
We'll see most of those guys out there. I don't know about this game, if every one of those guys will be out there. I'm not sure about the offensive line completely yet. But, you know, they probably won't be out there with Lamar. But as far as most of the guys, they will be. We're pretty young. It's not like we'll have a ton of guys not playing over the course of the preseason. So we'll see all the guys we need to, and it'll be quite a few guys.
That was John Harbaugh talking about his plan for the O-line in the preseason. And I think it's fair to say Ronnie Stanley is not going to play in the preseason because you don't want to risk injury. And Tyler Linderbaum's hurt, so he's not going to play in the preseason. The rest of these dudes, I think you're going to see them. Like, who else is, are you bubble wrapping? Like, even Makari, are you saving him? Like, but maybe. But the rest of these guys, you're going to see a lot of these O-line, of these offensive linemen in the preseason.
I mean, how are you not? I mean, this is where they're going to have to make their decisions. We played the clip of Mike Tomlin talking about his quarterback, competition, and saying obviously what happens in the stadium matters more than what happens on the high school field or the college field when we're, you know, when we're practicing on our own. Like, the same thing holds for this these various open or quasi-open competitions along the offensive line. Hell yeah, they're going to play. Some of them are. I mean, you've only got three games, and you're hoping they show what they've got in the first two, right? So that maybe you take some of them off the market for the third game because you've seen enough. So, like, I mean, I don't know. Am I crazy? If some of these kids play half this game? I mean, why not?
I wouldn't be surprised. Now, I know the weather's supposed to be sketchy tomorrow, so that could factor into the equation, but... I mean, a lot of this offensive line is just so inexperienced. Andrew Voorhees hasn't been on a football field in 18 months. Daniel Falele, I mean, how many starts has he had? A couple in his career. Roger Rosengarten, he's a rookie. Cleveland, how many starts has he had in his career? Yeah. I mean, like, all of these guys, that Big A.
Big A. Give me some Big A.
They need the reps.
More from John Harbaugh. And speaking of O-linemen, where does Ben Cleveland fit in this O-line?
I mean, I think it's a little bit of both, but Ben has done such a good job at center. Now we have Tyler out for a while. I think you're going to see him at center quite a bit here for the next 2 weeks.
Ben Cleveland, your starting center probably for the next 2 weeks.
Jason brought this up yesterday in terms of the Ravens want those big bodies up front. So I guess it does kind of make a little sense you're repping him up.
And I mean,
whether it works or not.
Like, you know, you can also look at this two ways. Like, one is, well, he probably wasn't winning one of the guard spots or wasn't the preferred guy to win a guard spot, but maybe they trust him there enough in the clutch. I'm sorry, in a desperation move that, like, he's there as backup, and now they're adding this to the toolkit. Then there's another part of me that's like, well, maybe they know he ain't going to play much guard for him, and they definitely don't think he's a tackle.
No.
So this is his last chance to make the team. Like, do we think you're our second best guy snapping the ball? Or really third, because Makari would still be the second best, but, like, you need him everywhere. So, like, I almost wonder if this is more not added on, but, like, last chance.
Well, I think I can see both of them. I mean, the fact that he's getting repped up this much at center, I don't see him in the mix to be the starting guard. Otherwise, he would be playing guard, but... It also goes back to the Ravens loving this versatility across their offensive line. They have for a long, long time now. If Cleveland can show that he can be semi-competent at center and can play both guard positions, they see that as valuable.
Speaking of Ben Cleveland, let's hear from him. And cut 30, his comfort level at center.
I feel perfectly fine at center. You know, they started working me in there last year. So, I mean, it's not like they just threw me into the fire this week. So, I mean, I'm definitely extremely comfortable there.
Ben Cleveland, comfortable at center, is also left-handed, so it comes out a little differently than from a right-handed center.
I mean, look, again, I was there for 2 hours. It was a fairly spirited practice. There were some team sessions. They were in full pads. I thought I would see a couple of balls on the ground. I didn't. Now, I'm not going to tell you every snap was you know, pristine, and I wasn't sitting there with binoculars either, but, like, it wasn't a bleep show, and I thought it might be a bleep show.
Yeah, and
now it might be a bleep show in the rain Friday night.
Yes, tomorrow.
Yes, it could. But yeah, I mean, for a guy that's just starting to get repped up at center for the, he didn't do this last year. First, and of course, not at Georgia either. I mean, this is a
they repped him a little last year in practice. Yeah,
okay,
yeah. So he did do it a little last year. So, but yeah, this is completely new for him as far as in game situations. Like, he's a guard in games, but now this is... I agree with Jason, though. I think this is the last chance saloon for Ben Cleveland. Like, I don't think guard is... He ain't playing guard for the Baltimore Ravens. His chance is backup center.
Yeah, and if Jones emerges as their next... as left tackle number two, then I think he becomes really valuable in that aspect. And then you've got McCary, who's the jack of all trades. And like, if they don't think these other kids can play guard, I don't think the answer is going back to Ben Cleveland. I think the answer is they go sign. Now, it's obviously not going to be Connor Williams, right? He got a little bit of money and he's gone.
Yeah.
He's going to Seattle. But like, I don't think that opens up a spot for Ben Cleveland. I think that means they're going to go sign a veteran who gets cut somewhere else or a guy on the street to have insurance.
Before we step out, we know the Ravens signed Russell Gage a few days ago. Harp said to, yesterday he's going to play Friday. They signed, according to sources on Twitter, they signed Anthony Miller today, a veteran receiver. So that's now two veteran receivers. Jordan Schultz reporting that Anthony Miller is now a Raven.
Yeah, and I wonder if some of this, again, is related to the new kickoff rules as well and getting different people in the mix there and seeing what different people can do back there. I sure, more competition, whatever.
About 6 years ago, I thought that kid would have a chance to do something.
Me too. I mean, Bateman's completely, utterly, this is completely nothing.
That's what they say, and you knew he wasn't going to play in this game anyway.
Right.
So I guess we'll have to see Monday if he's on the practice field.
Yeah.
Do you believe he will be?
I don't know.
I mean, how can you say with certainty?
I'm not going to sit here. I wouldn't bet on it.
Yes. Yeah, if I
wouldn't bet on it. Either.
If there were odds on whether or not he was at practice, where would you put them?
Fitty-fitty.
Okay. That's fair. Hey, coming up next, we'll continue to talk football, specifically the AFC North, with our friend at CBS's Aditi Kinkabwala joins us next here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.